and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle end. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I wanna know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life, and all that's dead inside can be reborn. 'Cause I'm one. Just won't let up, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. And you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Even though there may be
my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. In my bows, in my curtain calls, you brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all, but it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
But it's amazing that that song was chosen by Shannon out there, because that's kind of where I wanted to go with it today. You're listening to The Hope Show, Beverly's Hope Show. Hey, wait a second. You ain't Beverly? I guess I ain't. Somebody don't tell her that I hijacked her show, but, you know, she wanted to play a pod. She come in busy during the week and didn't have an opportunity to put her show together like she normally does. And so, with that said, I think her show deserved a little bit more than a pod. Anyway, so, you know, keeping in context with her show, Hope, you know, what's Hope all about? You know, I had a dream the other night, and it's... It was an amazing dream. I got two really good friends out there that I've met via the internet, Shannon and my buddy Cultist Negrand. And, you know, this dream was pretty amazing. I got to see my buddy in person. And I got to see Shannon, and, you know, I was happy. It was a happy dream. I run up there, and I give them both a huge hug. And, you know, I told them, I said, man, it's just awesome to have you here. And, you know, it was just a wonderful dream. You know, but, you know, someday it may not be a dream. Someday we may actually get a chance to be together, you know. And, sorry, brother, but you ain't getting out of there without a hug.
That's all right, brother. You ain't getting away with that one, daughter.
And, you know, Thomas, you know, if you show up, you're liable to get one too, brother.
He's getting two.
Yeah, nobody gets out of Shaziz's house without a hug, you know, from Beverly and myself. It's just, hope is about love, you know. That's all there is to it, you know. Love is a powerful tool that you have access to. Love is the most powerful thing out there. you know, you can't go wrong when you lift somebody up with hope and peace and love. You know, there's a lot of people out there in this world that are extremely desperate with the times that we live in, and you know, it's I call it a mental mind, you know what, of epic proportions, the way that people are treated these days, you know. The governments of the world, the elites of the world, you know, they don't get it. And that's why, you know, we were talking about doing that most profound letter of peace, you know, to send to them, to show them what is in our hearts and what's in our minds, the wants that we want. You know, cultists says this a lot, you know, we would rather get together and have a barbecue than we would have a war, you know. Have our children playing amongst each other as opposed to, you know, fighting amongst each other. And to me, you know, when you look out there and you see all the war-torn zones in the world and you hear all the bad things going on the radio and TV and all the negativity being pumped out via the media, whether it be even some music out there has a negative vibe to it, that, you know, there's a dark side. You know, what is the fascination with the dark side that I don't understand? Because anything according to my views on the dark side has to do with harming somebody, and we're not out about to harm nobody. When we talk about standing up against your government, we're not talking about like grabbing up guns and running out there in a violent takeover. We're talking about using common sense and stop feeding that beast, you know. And so while all this stuff is going on, I got a really funny video that I did way back when, Shaziz's birthday picture or something like that. I can't remember the name of it, but it's got a bunch of monkeys in there, and I'm kind of making fun of myself, you know. And I'm talking about what's a guy got to do to get subscriptions around there, and then I showed a few pictures of monkeys, and this was me when I was young or whatever. And there's another video I put out called Fight, and at the end of it, it's got this little bitty baby orangutan in there, and he's looking at everybody like it's all crazy. You know, this is the kind of example that we're putting towards this little guy, and he's the only thing he's thinking is, you know, what's going on? Why can't we all just get along? You know, whatever. But while all these people out here suffering through what I feel like is a forced doggone mental illness upon the civilization of humanity, you have to be bombarded with all this kind of stuff. You need hope. You need shows like Beverly's to, you know, whenever you've heard all the negativity and you need some time to wind down and you need some sort of, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. That, to me, is what Beverly's Hope Show represents, showing you that there's other possibilities, there's other solutions. There's, you don't always have to go down that negative road. You can do things for yourself to empower yourself, to make your life better, to make you feel better. To me, that is the epitome of what her show represents. And I've had many conversations with Beverly in the past where she didn't feel like, you know, the numbers were there, or she didn't feel like that there was, you know, she was making any difference. Am I really helping anybody? But I can testify by the fact that I've talked to a lot of her friends out there, her friend Kelly, and I even heard a few about my buddy Cultus here. I've heard a few about a lot of people out there, which her message hit home, and it touched their lives. And so to me, if you touch one life, it's not a lost cause. And so with that said, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there. We're trying to counteract the negativity with some positivity. We're trying to put out a bit of hope. We're trying to be the ones at the end of that tunnel shining that light, saying, hey, come down here. The weather's better, and it's not so bad. There's not a lot of crazy going on. You see where I'm coming from, guys?
Yep. This world can be a crazy, crazy place, mate.
Well, and would you agree that if you can throw an ounce of hope out there, it's worthwhile?
It's well worth it, mate. It's well worth it. You know, I mean, this is what we try to achieve every week. It's just a positive pebble into the pond. You know, to quote my good friend Shaziz, there's a positive pebble into the pond. You know, and it ripples outwards into all those little other atoms of water, which, you know, we described last week on Knights of the Roundtable. Was, you know, our comments and what we say on these shows are those, you know, positive pebbles being thrown out there in the pond, and the ripple is the effect that we have on all the people around us.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is we upload our podcast to Shaziz Radio, and any network out there who wants to rebroadcast any of those, I've already told them, you can take them and chop them up and take the pieces you want out of them, and you can just spread the positive messages as much as you want. You know, this isn't about me getting attention for myself or you getting attention for yourself. This is about throwing those positive pebbles out there, making them positive ripples, because to borrow your phrase now, brother, at the end of the day, what's it all about? It's all about making our world a better place. It's all about putting some hope out there. It's all about stop feeding the doggone beast that's tormenting the world, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, what more can you say? I mean, that's a mouthful. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, we have a choice to make a difference, or we have a choice to hinder the world, you know? And it comes down to the individual to make the correct choice.
And that song that was picked out, it was a good song, because
we are joined by Shannon right now, actually.
Well, great, we are the champions. We're the champions, because if nobody else is standing up, the champions that really believe in a better world are standing up. We are literally standing up. We're putting ourselves, our faces, our information on the line. We're putting it out to the world, because what we keep saying, and I think you said this in the last show there, Cultists, is that this isn't our network. This isn't just mine. This isn't just yours. This is everyone's network. This is the world's network. And we want to listen to the world. We want the world to have a place to come and speak their hearts and their minds. And that's why the profound letter of peace thing is, to me, a good idea, because it's an opportunity for you to say what it is that you would say if you could actually have some time alone with that politician and have his ear, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You've actually got a young fella here at the moment who wants to read out a letter.
Well, let's hear it.
Hi, everybody. It's Dame Shannon. And I have my prince here with me who is going to read his letter to the world.
All right.
And to the leaders. And so I will put him on in just a second.
Well, I am so excited to hear this.
I'm pumped up for this one.
This is Z-Man.
Hello there, brother.
Hold on a second. I'm going to put it on his ears.
Hi.
How you doing,
buddy? How you doing?
We're really excited to hear your letter. Anytime you're ready.
Okay.
Read it out nice and clear for us, nice and loud, okay?
Okay.
That's the way.
Dearest world leaders, I love this world. There's good people. I want to see the world go on and on. It's beautiful, but the world is going to end too early if we don't stop being mean and stop war. I would like everyone to help each and another out. I love you all. Z-Man.
Oh, wow. That is so wonderful.
That is amazing.
Z-Man, you brought a tear to old Shaziz's eye, and that's a tear of joy.
Need more little men like you around, mate.
Yeah, you are one of the true knights of the round table, brother. You go out there and you look on the Shaziz podcast page, and you're going to see this nifty little deal that has a little bitty squirrel and a little suit of armor, and it says, even the smallest knight can make the biggest of difference. And, brother, you just did that. Thank you very much. That
very,
was,
very
that was great.
What you just did, mate. We're very proud of you for getting on the radio and doing that, mate.
Wow, we got a youth night of the round table. Woohoo! Isn't this great? This is what I'm talking about, folks. We are bringing together the brilliant minds from, and you got to listen to the mouths of the babes, because the kids will tell you just the way it is. They know it. They know it. They can feel it in their heart. They know what's good and what's bad. And so listen to them. Listen to what they got to say. And we got to get that letter to every doggone politician on the planet. You know? OSHA's his tongue gonna get kind of dried out and gluey if I have to do it all myself. So somebody help pitch in. We get these letters together, most profound letters of peace, and we start just bombing their emails, bombing their mailboxes. I mean, just one letter after another, one letter after another, just overwhelming letters of love and peace and hope for the world. Now you tell me that that's not a good cause. Whew!
Okay, he's done.
Somebody take over so I can breathe. Oh, man.
Here's a thought. This is a really, really good thought about speaking about the letters. And Mom had just kind of mentioned it to me, and I think it's a really good idea. I think maybe if Xander wanted to go to his class and, right. and kind of put it like a little project together, and yes. If his teachers would agree to let the kids in his class, if they were to speak to, you know, and have him write up little letters, and then I could read them.
That would be amazing.
That would be spectacular. That's what we need. That's what we need.
They're just little 11-year-olds, but someday they're going to get older and they're going to grow. And you know, so it'd be good to see what they think.
Well, Shannon, I'll tell you what, that 11-year-old made a full-grown man cry, I'm telling you.
Yeah. He's
an amazing
he has a very, very good heart. He really does.
He's an amazing little man, that's for sure.
And those little men and women out there, they do got good hearts. They do got hopes, and they do got dreams. And it's up to us to pave the stones that they can step on for a smooth path into the future. You know, I keep saying, we're the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, the aunts, the uncles and cousins of our children and our children's children's future. And if you sit down here and contemplate on that long enough, you'd understand that's pretty profound. You know, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. And I, for one, want my little beautiful-eyed children to grow up in a world where they can sleep at night with ease, you know, and know that they're taken care of and all that kind of stuff. What's wrong with that? Is there anything that anybody in this world can find wrong with knowing that you just put a good positive ripple into the pond that will make a better world for all of humanity?
I certainly hope not.
It doesn't get any better than that, I don't think.
Well, thank you very much.
If anybody gets upset about that, then, you know,
they're on the wrong side.
Definitely, yeah, they're on the definite wrong side.
Thank you very much for allowing that young man to share that with the world, because I'm going to tell you what, we need more of that. We need to hear from all the children of the world.
Yeah, it would be great if we could get some of them little ones on to read and to tell their story. And I think it's easier on them because they know that no one can see them, but yet they're heard. And that's, you know, a lot of times children want to be heard.
Well, the thing is, these solutions, they don't happen until we get up off our couches and we go do them. And so if you were even remotely touched by what you just heard on here, go to your local town, go to your local schools, and ask the children to write a letter, the most profound letter of peace to the world, and listen to what they have to say. We'll put it out here on air. We'll post them up on every website we can. We'll put them out to every single politician we can get a letter to, or an email, or a phone call, or whatever, because we got to do this, folks. We have got to do this. This is not a if. This is a we have to do, because the world that we leave for our children as it stands today doesn't look very promising in my eyes. Now, if anybody out there has a better view of what I got, I would love to hear it, because I love all the hope and encouragement that can be said or whatever. It's just that from where I'm standing, from all the information that I've seen, it don't look good, you know. Okay, well, there's a lot of people out there waking up. There's a lot of people out there standing up and putting themselves on the line, and they're doing these networks, and they're doing everything they can to spread hope and love and alternative everything to everyone out there in the world. But it has to not stop at the door. It has to continue out the door, down the street, up to your neighbor's door, to their neighbor's door, and so on down the line. If we could get the children to write these letters and send these letters out to the world and get the world involved. And, you know, I seen a picture sometime back, and essentially It's a whole big picture of a bunch of hands all the way around the world, people holding hands all the way around the globe. Now, I know that sounds kind of cliche.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
When I was a little girl, I remember traveling and holding hands and seeing people holding hands down the roads. Like, I remember holding hands with everyone. I don't remember what that was. It was like Hands Across America,
yeah,
or something.
Hand Across the World.
Do you remember?
Hands Across the World.
Yeah.
And we need that.
I remember
that.
Seeing roads and roads of people holding hands and stuff. That was really, you know, I just now remember that. That's really cool.
And we need that.
I think there is a promise, Shaziz. I think there is a possibility. I think there's a promise. And I think we all have the potential to make this world a better place. And, you know, whatever I believe, you know, is that it's already foreseen. And I believe, though, that we can make a difference. And we can shed light.
Well, yeah, because in my belief, God didn't make anything that wasn't good, you know. We have so much potential. I mean, there's so many different resources. We have everything we need to literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And I know that sounds so far-fetched. I know that sounds so beyond the realms of reality as we know it today. But the fact is, it's there. We got materials to build houses for the homeless. We got food to feed the hungry. We've got all the technology that we need to literally create a heaven on earth, and it's not going to come via any leadership. It's going to come via the one person who decides that my children are going to live in a better world, and I'm going to stand up and make it happen. You see where I'm coming from?
I do. I feel the same.
That's why I say nobody gets out of Shaziz's house without getting a hug, you know? However freaky that is.
Be a hug there.
However freaky that is.
Shannon, no, I just got to block a hug out of
you. Yeah.
You got no choice anyway. You're not in control of this.
It's just a sandwich.
But
it's just this and Bev's sandwich.
This is
don't add lettuce.
Okay? This is.
I choked a piece of lettuce yesterday. Shaziz, that's why I say that.
this is what our hearts are made up. If you looked at our hearts under a microscope, this is what you would see. You know, and I believe that the majority of the people out there in this world feel the same way. I mean, you know, think about this for a second, you know. If you were over in a different country and it was all peaceful and you were looking at the news media and you were seeing all the destruction and the devastation and you thought about for just a brief second, what if that was my child that was laying in there? What if I was laying dead next to my child and my significant others laying next dead to my child? What if that was my child that was hungry sitting there? You tell me one individual out there who could sit there and say, if that was my child, it's just a collateral damage. It's just a casualty of war. You know, things happen, you know. No, it don't go that way, because those guys over there and those gals over there and those children over there, they want the same thing that you want. They want a happy life. They want a fruitful life. They want to be able to eat and sleep and live a comfortable life just like you are. Those people bleed the same color you do. They breathe the same air that you do. They have the same hopes, dreams, and aspirations that you have. And so those folks over there are your family. Those are your brothers and sisters around the globe. And what we're trying to do here is throw a bit of hope out there. And by putting this information into the child's mind and asking them, don't tell them. Don't say, write this letter. Just ask them, would you want to write a letter to tell people what you feel, you know? Would you want to be heard? Because I can tell you this, and I know this for a fact, children want to be heard. They want to be heard, and a lot of them act out because they aren't being listened to. A lot of them, you know, they want the attention. They want to know that they're of importance. They want to be part of what's going on in this world. And so if you give a child an opportunity to speak their heart, they're going to give you it plain and simple. Two, there's not going to be no whitewashing or anything. They're going to tell you exactly the way that they see it, and chances are it's going to be a really profound word that comes out of their mouth.
I asked my nephew a couple of questions about, you know, how he felt about what the world is going too, you know, as him being a 15-year-old, you know, what? How do you feel about it? And he says, you know, I've not really thought about it because they're so involved in things that are right in front of them that they, and they don't have the direction to say, you know, like back maybe when we learned about a lot of things, and maybe they do, you know, maybe it's just him or that age group, but he says, I never thought about it, but now that you say that, now he's probably thinking about it more.
Yeah.
You know, what can I do? And with, you know, Z-Man, I just, you know, I just ask him a question. I'm like, if you, just like you said, if you could write, you know, a letter and to, you know, your president or your, he says, I don't want to write a letter to the president. And I'm like, I don't mean directly to him, you know. I mean, well, it is directly to him, but, you know, he goes, he'll get mad at me. And I said, you know what? I said, I hope that he doesn't get mad at you. I hope that he sees,
yeah,
you know, that he feels that. And so he's like, oh, okay. And so, you know, for them, you can give them direction, you know, if you could change the world, what would you do? Or if you could ask them, what would you say? And, you know, he wrote that on his own. I didn't have to, you know, help him at all. Maybe with some spelling. But, you know, he that came from his heart.
Well, I'll tell you what, it brought a tear to my eye.
I mean, he's just, these children are awesome children. And they, you know, I just heard a thing, and it just made me so disgusted. She says, this lady threw her child up against the wall. A baby.
Man.
A baby. And that, and for me, my sister can't have children, and she aches for that. You know, she aches for that so bad and can't afford to adopt or can't afford for, you know, in vitro. And if I had the money to give her, I would, because she would be a great mom. And this lady threw her child up against the wall.
You know, that's terrible. And
it is.
As far as the adoption thing, you know, it shouldn't cost to adopt. It should. There should be no price on adoptions, because there's so many children out there that could use hope. They should. They should be finding these people. They should be. You know. Granted, they might want to look in to make sure this is a good person before they put the child in their hands. But I'm saying, you know, if we're going to solve a problem such as, you know, children that don't have families and homes and stuff like that, you need to, you know, take away the financial portion of the deal. I mean, if the state gives a crap about the people, state pays for the adoption. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know a lot of you don't know this, but my Z-Man, he's adopted. I adopted him.
Well, he's wonderful and a lucky child.
He was 2 years old. And I'm telling you, I couldn't ask. I could not tell you how much I love this child. And when he came to me, well, before he came to me, like 2 years before he came to me, I still have the letter. I found it. I wrote a letter to God. You know, I cannot have another child. You know, please help me, God. I need to help, whether it be adoption, you know, whatever. And 2 to 3 years later, this comes to me. And I didn't realize until I found that letter. I'm like, wow, it didn't happen in the time that I wanted it to happen. It happened in the time that it needed to happen.
Yep. Yep.
And I could not ask for a better child in my life. I this little boy is, you know, yes, we have our problems not because of him, but because of how he was raised from his beginning babyhood up until he was 2 years old.
Well, and you hit on a key point. You hit on a key point there, because when we were talking about asking the children out there, and you was talking about how they were distracted, you know, when you're raising a child, it's up to you to try to put them in a good position to where they got good morals and that kind of stuff like that. But in society today, there's so many doggone distractions out there that the children are up against, and not to mention the fact that whenever they go to school, the schools are set up more like prisons than they are a school. You know, and that's a shame, because kids should want to go to school. They should love going to school. You know, I go to school because my teacher, she's a fun teacher, and she teaches me all this stuff, and, you know, and I'm learning something. But with all the distractions that these kids have to contend with, it's amazing. of what kind of things. When I heard that story right there, it was a story of hope in my mind, because there's that out of the mouth of a child, all right? There's the common sense that we should have been seeing all along from each and every adult out there. You understand what I'm saying?
For me, there is no exception to a parent being lazy with their child.
No.
And I will admit, there has been times when I have been lazy in my past. And there has been times that I have been lazy recently with my child. And I am so thankful that I am brought back to reality when things happen with him. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to pay attention. I've got to pay attention or he's going to get lost.
I can't
have that.
I tell everybody out there that raising a child, when you get a child and you become a parent, children didn't come with an owner's manual. They didn't come with a book that tells you how to raise them properly. You have to do with what you know is right, you know, and try to raise your child the best you possibly can. But on the other hand, you also got to keep a vigilant eye on what your children's friends are teaching your child and what your children's school is teaching your child.
You know, you let a book on TV, but yeah. Huge concern.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I don't know about any of you guys, but I've watched some stuff that's like on like the free to air TV and that, and that is aimed at children, and wow, that's all I can say. Are we trying to breed like a whole generation of like retards? Because like, who's seen Teletubbies?
Well, I made this.
Perfect example.
As my daughter was a little girl, I would not let her watch that. Reason being, if I can't understand it, how is my daughter going to?
Yeah.
I want to teach my child real words.
Yep.
I made this example on the Knights, I believe, last weekend, if I'm not, my memory ain't failing me, but there was a video that I watched where there was a couple little girls that, and this guy was talking to them about peace in Israel. And the little girls essentially told the man that they didn't want no peace with Israel because Israel killed their mom and their dad. Well, you know, where's this ever going to stop? If when they grow up, they are the future warriors that will kill somebody else's mom and dad. And so those chains have to be broken. And the only people who can break the chains is we, the people. You know, stop sending your children over to foreign lands to fight with other people's children unless you know 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt that, you know, these folks are out to harm you. There's no sense in what's going on. You see where I'm coming from? Have I gone off the deep end or what? You got to break those chains. You got to break them from the get-go.
That's exactly right. We're in a position to teach our children, the future generation, what is really going on in this world, and not to be brought up like us and told to just conform, get in line, do what you're told. Like, no. I rebelled at school something fierce. And there was good reason for it. I wouldn't be here now if I had just fallen into line.
Yeah, well, all the ones that had fallen into line are the same ones out there that are trying to set fire to snow.
Well, they're the same ones who look at us like we're fools.
Yeah.
And because they are indoctrinated into a system that has made them blind to what is really going on in the world. They just go to work, do their job, you know, own their possessions, and scared of losing everything if they happen to step out of line, because that's how they were treated and taught school. Enough's enough.
Who
cares if you're going to lose a couple of things? You know, that's not the point. You know, at the end of the day, doing the right thing isn't necessarily the easiest road, but it's the right thing to do.
I agree.
Sorry, I totally cut you off like five times.
It's all right. Well, I was going to say, and they can never find true happiness because they're always trying to compete with their neighbors. My neighbor's got a nice car. I want a nicer car. My neighbor just painted their house. I got to paint mine a better color or whatever. They never can find true happiness because they're spending their time being enslaved to the system and the financial portion of the whole deal. You know, some folks live so far beyond beyond their means that they can't rest. They can't get a decent night's sleep because, like you said, cultists, they're afraid they're going to lose it all, you know? And we got to get past that point. We got to show people how they can become debt-free. We got to show them how they can become energy independent and how they can do this. Those folks out there who are the ones that did rebel in school and thought outside the box and questioned the laws of physics and so on down the line, wanted to know what other alternatives there were than what we were being taught. Those are the folks that you're listening to right now. These are the folks that have other ideas like the airplane. You know, when they first got the airplane off the ground, people told them, man, if man were meant to fly, he would have been born with wings and so on and so forth. So had that mindset have stuck there, man would have never been flying around in airplanes. Man would have never got as far as we've got. We get this far because there were some folks that were brave enough to think outside the box. And on the offset of that, there are those folks out there that know that they can profit from that kind of thinking outside the box. They'll profit off of us, but they won't allow us to get any further ahead. You see where I'm coming from?
You know how I taught my daughter about the whole neighbor thing? When she was, I believe, 3 years old, three or four, she kept coming home from the little neighbor next door. Mommy, I don't have this doll. I don't have this doll. And this child had, she was the only child, so she had her own playroom and stuff. She had plenty, you know, not overly, but she had plenty. And she kept saying, I want the same. I said, I just have had enough. I'm like, I don't have the money for this. So I took everything she owned, everything, clothing, and I mean, it took me, I don't know, maybe 4 hours, and I took it all up to the attic, and I was a sweating mom, too. I mean, I even took her bed up to the attic, and I gave her a blanket and a pillow, and I said, here, there you go. Now you don't have anything.
See?
And I said, you know, and you know, my daughter is she is a awesome girl. That she is very caring, very loving. And yes, I do hear from her mouth occasionally, oh, you know, I want that, I want that, you know, but it never is she just like absolutely.
She's very grateful for what she has and what she gets.
Yes. She is amazing. Some of the words that she speaks is amazing.
And that's a well lesson learned because, like I keep saying all the time, you know, as bad as you think you've got it, somebody in this world has it so much worse. And those are the folks that we need to be reaching out and lifting up. You know, I'm kind of strange when it comes about food. I will stand back and I'll wait until everyone else gets their plate because I don't want anybody doing without or me taking more than my share or whatever.
Yep.
I've been that way for, you know, since I was a child because of the way that I was raised up. You know, I was raised in a poor family and, you know, we ate weird stuff like split pea soup, you know, and cabbage and stuff like that. But
no, that's not weird.
What I learned from that experience was the fact that what I do get after that is a blessing because I've seen what it's like to not have and to actually be given a gift from somebody that's a shiny or whatever, you know, that's to me like, wow, this is wonderful. But if I was to ever gotten that mindset to where, you know, I think this I gotta have this, I gotta have that, you know, I would be ashamed of myself because I know that there's others in this world who don't have that. They don't have access to that, and their families don't have access to give it to them. I would love to give it to them. If I had it and somebody needed it, I would give it to them. Because at the end of the day, borrowing your phrase again, cultists, you can build a stairway to heaven if you like, but you can't take that stairway with you, you know? It's what you leave behind is going to be what we're doing right now. The positive pebbles that we put is the only thing that you can leave a treasure trove and let everybody fight over it by the time you leave. But
at the end of the day, it's like a game of Monopoly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cultists and I were just talking about this, weren't we, cultists, about how we don't want a mansion. We don't need a mansion. We don't need space that we're not even going to use. We want to be okay.
That's all you need.
I want to be okay. Yes, I want a beautiful house, but I don't need a big, huge house. you know, with all the space.
And who's going to clean it?
Right. Well, I like to clean, unfortunately.
Totally dumb.
Well, just
take, responsible for like a 42-bedroom mansion and cleaning that.
No,
you know?
Kidding.
Like, just think about
things I could be so much better doing with my time than wasting it on, you know, things like that. And, you know, I it's not that I don't, you know. I would turn down having a couple of $1 million in the bank because, you know, the things I could do with that is phenomenal, you know, especially in the alternative energy and, you know, with my friends and all the rest of it. But I would live no different to how I pretty much live now. I would have a small little house. I would have it in the country somewhere. You know, I would be able to set ourselves up, you know, in such a way that no one would want for anything. But I wouldn't want this huge house and to be elaborate. Average Joe Blow down the street would only assume I'm an average Joe Blow like him.
Yeah.
The only thing is I tend to buy more beers down the pub than he does and share them with him and my other friends.
There's
you know?
A huge house next door to me. Huge. Do you know no one stays in that house? One lady owns it, and I always look over thinking to myself, do you know how many people could be staying in that house right now, staying warm?
Yeah.
If you're paying on a property that you only are going to use on a weekend...
There's a couple videos circulating out there where FEMA has went around and used some of these doggone FEMA camps to give the homeless people, they didn't really give them a choice. They made there's a couple of towns that made it illegal to be homeless. And so they literally took these individuals over there, and if this story turns out to be factual, it's a scary trend because now, you know, if you don't have a home, if you fall on hard times, you could be literally jailed and forcefully shifted over to one of these camps, which to me demeans everything that it is to mean to be human. You know, like she's talking about that empty house. I think about that one rich billionaire that's sitting in this mansion that's like so many empty rooms in there of what he could actually do to benefit those folks that couldn't, you know, hey, I got an extra room over here. Come over and stay in this room till you can get yourself on your feet. I'll even give you a little bit of job to go around and, you know, trim up some weeds around my house or whatever, you know. Yeah, but it's a work together kind of thing, you know.
I'm not talking about, like, my daughter. My daughter has not asked me for money to get what she needs. Yes, if I have extra, I want to help my daughter out. You know, my daughter needs a car. She does. She doesn't have a car. And when I can, I'm going to help her. No, I'm not going to just give her the car. She has started herself in college. She has started herself. She's got her and her boyfriend have their own place now. And I am so proud of her.
Room, I think.
My daughter is?
I think so.
Cool. Hello out there.
Sage.
Is she?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's cool. And
hello, darling, if that is you in there.
It might be.
The thing is, folks, when we talk about hope, these are the stories of hope that we're talking about. These are the stories, you know, cultists, I feel the same exact way with you. Even if I was filthy, stinking rich, I'd live in a modest house and I would wear modest clothes just so that I don't put myself above any, because I'm a firm believer. In my religious belief, we're all created equal. No man's above each other. We're all servants to one another and so on and so forth. And so with that said, if I had the access to the funds and I knew that there was a problem going on in the world, I would try to do whatever it took to resolve that problem using those funds, even if it meant that I had to hire a jet to fly over there and personally hand these people what it is that they need, then so be it. You know, this is what it's all about.
I wish my daughter could be on here to talk about how recently we came across, and I may have even spoke about it, about the homeless guy that we tried to help, and we got online and a bunch of people started looking for him. And to see my daughter, you know, step in and try to do something for him was amazing to me, and it made my heart fill with joy because, you know, I hope that I have passed on, you know, just some love.
It sounds to me like you've done a fine job. I've heard that young man, and I would love to hear from your daughter, because the message that came out of that young man's heart, that was just, that is the epitome of what it is that we're talking about, the most profound letter of peace to the world. And I am a firm believer. If we keep this up long enough, it's like the snowball effect. We're going to grab more happy souls all the way down the hill and keep building that snowball up until it's laying on top of the whole entire White House. And they can't ignore all these happy people up there saying, hey, you know, peace and love. I sound like an old hippie, don't I?
That's okay.
Oh, but come on, you know, there's so many folks out there with good hearts, and so many folks have been, you know, distracted and moved off to the side there, you know. I don't want this to be something that, you know, starts off as a really good idea and it just kind of withers away and then, you know, goes away. I want this to be an everlasting deal to where people know they have a voice. They know that they are special in just being themselves. They know that they are valuable as the other guy out there. I don't want to ever think about somebody thinking that their life is so worthless that they got to jump off a bridge. I don't want them to think their life is so worthless that they don't count for nothing. Everyone out there counts for something. Everyone out there has that missing piece of the puzzle that puts the entire picture of humanity together in a form that will literally build a better world for our children and our children's children.
Yeah.
Was that a rant?
Oh, that was a shiziz. I call that a shiziz.
That was a shiziz moment. But yeah. It has to happen. It has to be said. Even if we're the only ones grouped in here to say this, it has to be said. Somebody out there has to hear this message, and they have to pass it along. When your daughter got involved and had everybody else involved to go around there and find this homeless man, to give him some food, give him some blankets, give him some clothes or shoes or whatever, that's what it's all about. That's the only way that we're going to fix it.
That story, Shaziz, the sad part about that was that they did find someone who put him in a hotel room, except for the fact that this man is so used to living outside in the cold. And what, I don't know what his intentions are, really, but that's for him to be on his shoulders. I told, you know, them, you did your part.
Yeah.
He denied the room to stay in. He says, I'll just be back here standing
that's
in the morning.
That's what I was
anyway.
About to say.
Well, because in his...
It's kind of like, I can sort of see his point. It's the same reason why I don't take pain meds. I could take pain meds.
It's only temporary.
But then they're going to wear off and I'm going to be in twice as much pain because I didn't feel it for a little while and now it's come back. You know, he's going to go and enjoy himself in a nice warm room, get a full belly. And tomorrow he's just going to go back out into hell.
And so we need to make that individual understand that this is not temporary, that we the people are going to support him like we support one another. This is the key.
I try to teach my kids because a lot of times I hear, oh, well, he's probably just out there, you know, getting a bunch of money from people and buying alcohol. Okay, so maybe he is, but who am I to know that? That could have been God's angel there, and I passed him by. Yeah. And I try to teach my kids that. At least you tried.
Well, there is a story that Beverly put out on her show one time, and to me, even if it was just a fairy tale or whatever, this story, it sunk in my head like you wouldn't believe. This pastor dressed up like a homeless man. He went into his church that he was going to be preaching at. He was going to become the new pastor of this church. And as he walked in there, people were scurrying away from him. And they didn't want to sit next to him because he looked dirty and he smelled dirty or whatever. And so instead of coming over there, sitting down next to him and saying, hey, brother, is there anything I can help you with? You know, is there anything you need or welcome to our church or anything? They kind of excluded him without, you know, doing it directly, kind of, you know, just kind of moved over to the other side of the room. And when it was all said and done, and he actually, the old pastor invited him up to start preaching at the church to let him know that he was going to be the new pastor. When he got up there and he started talking to these people and explained to them what they just did to him, the shock on their faces was overwhelming, that these mm-hmm. people who profess to be Christians, they literally took, just like you were saying there, they took a a picture of what society says about homeless people. They're just drunks. They're just on drugs. They're just trying to get money for drugs and drunks. And this is what the mainstream media tells you. Don't pick up the hitchhiker because he's an axe murderer. And so you, in your heart, you're saying, I should pick this guy up because it's raining. But in your mind, you're saying, I'm fearful because he could kill me. Well, so be it. If I pick a hitchhiker up and he kills me, I'm going to my great reward because I did it in the name of my version of my God, and that's the way I feel about it. But, you know, for these people out here to look out into society and on one hand say, oh, we got to fix this, we got to fix this, but not be willing to accept that homeless individual next to them in a pew of a church. You see where I'm coming from?
I'm not trying to be like to tell all my stories about what I've done good.
No, you're supposed to testify.
Well, what my kids and I have done in the past is not hand over cash. There was a time when me, my son, and Sage, we saw this homeless guy, and you know, I talked to him, and Sage can even agree with me. She is on the chat on Shazoo's radio. We went and bought him. It was so cold. We went and bought a blanket. We went and bought Gatorade. I believe we bought, I think it was maybe some snacks to snack on. Because I can't provide him with a place to stay. I couldn't provide him with, you know, the things that he needed. But what I could do was provide him with the food and a warm blanket for in hopes that somebody would be able, that next person would be able to say, hey, come on in.
The story you told me about comforting somebody in their last time of need, and the story you just told me about comforting a homeless individual, you showed them that there is some hope in humanity, and hope is the first stepping stone to getting out of the mess that they're in. If they see out there that the world isn't all bad, they don't sink into that the total abyss, that darkness that seems to devour all of humanity. You know, you put that first stepping stone out there, you give them a leg up, you know, they can look up over that that wall just a little bit higher, you know, and see that on the other side of that wall is something, you know, there's something to humanity. And so the more stories you got like this, you spew them out as fast as you can tell, lady, because I'm telling you, in my belief, if you're exposed to a miracle, if you are blessed in any way, you're supposed to go out there and you're supposed to testify to the rest of the world to the glory of that blessing.
Well, I didn't want, you know, not so much that I want people to hear those stories, but I don't want people to think that, you know, I just do those things to make myself look good, and I don't.
No.
I do these things because I feel that pain.
And that was...
If ever.
It's the same as me, sweetheart. You know what I do, and like, yeah. Just recently, you know, we stuck a young fella on a bus and took him halfway across the country and sent him to Muddy's because he was in the house where he was living. He was sleeping on the floor in a bedroom with nothing. The people who were in control of his money were basically gaslighting him to scare him from ever leaving. And, you know, it was total mental abuse this young bloke was receiving. And so I stepped in, I paid for a bus ticket for halfway across your beautiful United States and sent him to Muddy's house. He now lives at Muddy's, and they get along like a house on fire. This young bloke's now able to do his research without being ridiculed by everybody around him, and no one is trying to confuse him and mess with his mind. So he now has a chance to grow and become something. And this is the sort of stuff our listeners do not have a clue that goes on in the background of the nights, you know. This is the sort of stuff we do. I was very, very fortunate to be given a little bit of cash in crypto cash, and that turned out to be very, very good, and I have pretty much given most of that away, as you know. Like, these are the things that we do.
When I talk about testimony, when you talk about your stories and Cultus talks about his stories, it's not to pump up our volume to make us seem like we're really wonderful people. What it is about, though, is showing you that you too have the power to do this. If you got a loaf of bread and it only takes a couple sandwiches to fill your belly, then that other loaf of bread, you could go around and help somebody else who needs their belly filled as well. And this is what we're talking about. It's not to pump up our egos or our volumes or anything. This is coming from the heart. This is to show you that there are examples of ways by which you can make a difference. As small as you may think you are, like I was telling your son, you should copy that picture for him, that little knight on the round table. You should give that picture to that boy. Because
where's it at?
It's on the, if you go on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page, there's a little picture, and it's a little squirrel, and he's in his little suit of armor, and he's got his little sword, and it says above there, it says, even the smallest knight can make the difference. And that boy today made the difference, all right? He showed somebody out there. He showed other children out there that they can have a voice. You know, what they got to say is important, and this is what it's all about. You know, these stories that we're telling are stories of testimonies of what we've been able to accomplish with the blessings that we've been given. And so you, too, can take the blessings that you've been given, and you can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, I cannot wait for the time that I am financially stable enough to be able to do things that I want to do for people and for the world. And, you know, there's gonna, and, you know, right now I can do my best, and that's to show my love. And I'm going to continue to do that.
Well, right
and
now.
My daughter and my son, they are my prince and my princess.
Shannon,
and,
you've already accomplished your goal to some extent, because you've sent a ripple via your son, and you've sent a ripple via your daughter that is rippling outward. And as that's going out, your son, he just had an experience today that was wonderful. He's going to tell his friend about it. His friend's going to want to know, hey, can I write a letter too? And so on down the line. And eventually the letters will flow like a tsunami of love through the land. And, oh, man, here I am again.
Right now we're trying to, we've got, you know, a young girl who is not homeless because she has my daughter that is letting her stay with her right now. But she needs a home. And if I had one, I'd let her stay there. She's my daughter. She's, you know, she's a daughter to me. And we're trying to make, you know, trying to make a way so that we can get her on her feet. She's only 19 years old. You know, these 19-year-olds, these young kids are already becoming, you know, homeless. Or they're already in this, you know, we've all been through it. A lot of us have been through the down times.
Yep.
And
I've had to go stay with mom once or twice.
Yeah, that's where I am right now, is my mom. And,
hey, moms are good for that. I love my mom.
I do, too.
Told you the story just recently, Shannon, of when I was sleeping on the railway station.
Yeah, yeah, and that was... You need to tell that, too. Which you want.
Well,
but
folks,
it's a great story, too.
We can do one or two things. Y'all can take over while I hit the coffee pot, or I can throw on a couple love songs for us.
Throw on a couple of love songs, brother. I think we all need a cup of Joe. And when we get back, I will tell that story that Shannon want me to tell.
Great. I'm looking forward to hearing it. And this next song right here, I Hope You Dance. I want everybody to take this song to heart, because it has a lot to do with hope, you know, because looking out there to life, you know, through all the kind of stuff, if you have the opportunity to dance, get up and do it. If you have the opportunity to sing, get up and do it. If you have the opportunity to help out a brother or sister around this world, just get up and do it. It is your life. You own this life. You own your soul. You are you, and there is none other like you. And the only way that we're ever going to make a difference in the world is when people start to realize that that's the case. Does anybody disagree?
Nope.
I'm pleased.
We're going to some songs, so peace and love. Stay tuned, everybody.
Whee!
Bye. Wonder.
soon. Another one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
it's gonna be bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone.
May peace prevail on earth.
Puisse la paix régner dans le monde.
Да будет мир человечеству во всем мире.
Que la paz prevalezca en la tierra.
Pace mbretërofte në botë.
Selam dhe mulla ala mista.
Խաղաղություն ամբողջ աշխարհի մարդկությանը.
Ака ура тенха сума хаканя утхупа.
Yaşasın sür bütün dünyada.
Не с ума, калла даму,
кукулукука. Нехай путь за мир человечеству во всем свете.
Бише шанти бирадж куру.
Намай пис и стап лонгол.
Нека мир завлада на земле.
Нека прибыде мира по света.
Кава людамя, ниньяньи, яшибазе.
Сом ай и куплю ман сантикир.
Папас какава на мунду.
Que la pau prevalgui a la terra.
Entendere ukale pazikula pansi.
Amani o haruma ye dunia kamili.
Pou la paix simaye dans le monde entier.
Que la paix revenu dans le monde.
Atmir vide varne na zemlu.
No, frère, qu'est-ce que tu as dit?
برقرار با تل در جهان
نیگا منکن دمهت و اندریوه
موو فرید هیسن اف ارده
زمین دیناله دیگی پیشن سوچو جی
اولکو مایلمس راو
ولید کن راو همایلمس
دایی اسم شویدو بام تلم سوپلیوش
Möge Friede auf Erden sein.
Efkome, na epikratisi, irini, stongosmo.
Tekopu awapute non de teko arapu lehe.
Ishe shalom ale adamot.
Vishme shanti rehe.
Leye Friede rikya au yers.
Ke etime to atirau lonar.
Smuga dame di dunia.
Korev shikon
air tawen.
Que la pace regni sulla terra.
Sagajin niga hewa deri makioni.
Adam zatka butuko dunyede gebet shalak bolsun.
Amahoro na ganzu kisi hosu.
Amahoro yosa sagara muisi yos.
Sege ilu etuaga iru pedoro.
Asti du hamu jihan.
Tu
dünyada tınçlık bolsun.
Hay santi hap jong mi yo nai lo.
Lai but mir pasaule.
Frieden mit alle Menschen auf der Welt.
Tebuna pasaulia teika.
Neka mirot zavladei na zemjata.
Legyen béke a földön.
Ingani hantaka era ni zau tutu ni zau ni fantia pahademana.
Semoga damai di dunia.
Yalla al-Pati, Sultan Fittinya.
Himayana roo kiwanga iti finua.
Aineman emperion lami.
Pie pache te tamut.
Bayan desi insa mozong bayat.
Enim mek iyo yat ep.
Bissoma santi faili rahos.
Mukta devar fred po yoran.
Abud abul msisi rabdul ar.
تلگی وی سول پنڑی کسی
برقرار باد سول در سراسر جهان
پیس مست ایستاب لونگ ورو
نیک بینج پوکوی نا جیمی
که پاش پروالیسا نو موندو
تکسی مویو بی آلینکاو سای کچون
ایمالو پیل فیل موی للالولان
سیریری ادوچی ناندوچی سیسی
خوچو ایبیتی le
fatti fa kasiso enneten mo le fatten
no vehi sa maye tawtiwa
uthula akube semhlabeni
nech pokoi vzdi vladnie na zemi
najmir zavlada svetu
lidu nabat akuwarto
amani na iwepo duniani
mo fried rota o juden
sanay manatili ang kapayapaan sa daigdig.
Barkaror bot sul para jahon.
Tungil sa mga ng milabat
Dame ba mundo tomak.
Kahay, santipak, tong masulo.
Salam at alam nisan.
Patawan, ito pamilino, imaman ito po.
Dunyada, barish, time, olsun.
Dunyada, karakatsalap bolsul.
Itu mau tu filemu itu lalu lang.
Hai bude mir ludstvu u всьому світі.
Dunia ni aman kan.
Dunia ada tinsik bolsa.
Tunjuk pabe jatuh ajar lagi tidak.
Alright, everybody, you're listening to The Hope Show. What you just heard there was 101 different languages, a message for peace out there in the world. So that's just proof positive, you know. There's people in every single nation who feel the exact same way that you do. They feel like what they want out of life isn't necessarily what we're being fed. They want peace. They don't want war. They want peace. They want love. They want to raise their families with the same things you want to raise your families with. A nice roof over their head, some good food in their bellies, and a warm, safe place to sleep. And so, you know, what we're hoping to do here is just that. We're hoping to send hope out to the world to say that you are not alone. There are people out there just like you that feel the same way that you do. They got the same love in their heart that you have. And for those folks out there who are discouraged and standing on the edge of that bridge, get off the doggone bridge for Pete's sake. Come on over here, hang out with us. We got a network. We go reach around the world and call some folks and see if we can find somebody in your general vicinity. You know, if you see somebody out there in a jam, you know, tell them there is something going on out here in the world. There is a mass awakening of good souls throughout the world. And I got my own version because of my own religion of what is actually occurring. But for even those out there that are of my same belief, I want to point something out to you. Nowhere in the Bible did God ever tell you to lay down and take it. You know, God gave you everything that you needed to do the things that you needed to do. You didn't always get what you wanted, but you always got what you need. And so with that said, make sure that your brothers and sisters around the world have what they need. And even if all heck is going to break loose, even if the apocalypse occurs, we're going to still be there for one another. We're going to do the best we can of a bad situation. We're going to uplift one another. We're going to do whatever it takes to ease the burden through whatever process we have to go through. I'm a firm believer, and maybe it goes against the grain because I don't feel like everything has to be written in stone. I believe that, you know, if we all was to come together and start doing the things that we're capable of doing, that we could literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And I know that's a far-fetched dream because you can't get everybody to agree on what flavor of soda to drink, let alone getting them all to believe in peace, hope, and love. But for those out there who are on the edge and have already given up, reach out there and grab a hold of their coat and drag them backwards and tell them, look, you ain't going to do that. I'm not going to allow you to waste something amazing that this world needs, and that's you. You know what I'm saying? Am I off base, guys?
Not one bit.
Nope.
Not at all. We got to keep ourselves strong so that we can help others. We've got to keep others strong so that they can help others. We got to keep throwing the positive pebbles of hope, peace, and love out there into the world. Otherwise, it's like what I said back whenever I was a police officer. You know, if the whole system is corrupt and there ain't no good ones going, no good police officers going in there to try to make a difference, then it's exactly that. The whole system is corrupt. If the entire world is in chaos and there's no good people willing to stand up and say and do the right things at the right time to offer the needy a shirt, a blanket, some food, some shoes, or a place to sleep, or whatever. If no good people stands up, then the whole system's bad and it's all going to go down the hill regardless. And so with that said, while we're sitting there heading over the cliffside, we're all riding down the mountainside and we're all in the same grocery cart together. It's out of control. And, you know, whatever happens at the bottom happens. You see what I'm saying? We've got to get control of it before we go over that hill so that we can steer the destiny of humanity in the right direction as opposed to the wrong. On the path that we're going on right now, humanity is on a sure set direction for sure destruction, and nobody can deny that. Nobody can disagree, because nothing good ever came out of war. You drop a bomb on something, you either messed up the whole population of insects that live in that general vicinity and tampered with nature, or you polluted an area that nobody can go in there and use for quite a long time. You know, it doesn't matter how you look at it. Nothing good ever comes out of war. Peace has never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. And if I'm wrong, somebody show me where I'm wrong, and I will apologize and stand corrected before all of humanity. But I'm firm in my beliefs that you don't get good by doing bad.
That's it.
Yep.
We have an opportunity to steer the next generation, you know. I mean, part of our generation, we sort of have to accept that kind of lost. We can try as we might, but there is a lot of sheep who are convinced to be sheep for the rest of their lives, you know. Whereas the children we can teach to just have open eyes and see it for themselves, and they'll get angry on their own.
Yeah, and we're not talking about teaching them to live in fear, teaching them to be skeptical of all authority or anything like that. We're trying to teach them to step back and look at the big picture, take all the information in, and make an informed decision on the information given to you. A lot of these youth of the day, they've been given only one-sided information from their schools, and so there's a lot of folks out there who believe in global warming, and everybody knows that's a thorn in my behind, and it just aggravates me to no extent, because in the long term, nature is in charge. It doesn't matter how tough you think you are. If you tamper with nature, nature will show you who's boss. And that's that, you know. Whether you're religious or not, whether you believe in a divine intervention such as God himself that created this deal, then it doesn't matter. If you tamper with nature, then you have a problem. It's like the fishbowl example that I use all the time. You got a little fish in a bowl, a little beautiful goldfish, and you leave him to his own devices. He's peeing and he's pooing in his own water, and before too long, his water becomes so acidic that he dies. Well, the same thing can be said for all of humanity. We are in this fishbowl together. If we keep doing what the fish did in that bowl and nobody from the outside was to reach in there and try to do anything about it, then we would all kill ourselves off. But nature, if you watch nature, nature knows what nature's doing. If we get out of line, nature will shake us off like a bad set of fleas. If we get overpopulated, nature will take control of that too. Because my belief, the man who put all this together, the divine God that put all this thing together, knew exactly what he was doing. We were going to get distracted. We were going to be selfish. We were going to war amongst one another. And so with that said, I better make this Earth, this nifty planet, self-contained, because these guys ain't paying enough attention to what's going on to keep it from destroying itself. So I'm not going to allow my creations to destroy my other creation. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do.
So,
I think everybody does.
I hope that that's self-explanatory. If you go inside your house and you start bringing trash in and you just leave it there and you just leave it there, you got a lot of flies flying around your house and some maggots and some really nasty stuff, and it stinks. If you want to live in that kind of environment, you know, hey, to each his own. But you have to know that for every action, there's a consequence. If you do good for people, good things come back. If you do bad for people, bad things come back. And so why perpetuate the destruction of all humanity by sending your young men and women over to bomb a foreign nation into the Stone Age, when eventually, if they ever do get on their feet where they can come back and retaliate, they sure will. It's like the Hatfields and McCoys. You know, they, after so many generations of fighting, two of them got together and said, "Do you have any idea what started this feud?" And nobody knew. Nobody knew why they were fighting. They just knew that they hated one another.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's like the whole relationship deal was all about last week, where, you know, you start off, if you don't discuss things openly, you know, eventually, you know, you're going to be upset about all these things that have happened along the way, but you won't remember what those things are. You'll just hold on to the emotion.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where they are, you know.
You know, you only get a first opportunity to leave a first impression on any individual out there. And so if my first and last impression of an individual is a smile and a hug, then I think I've done a fair bit of my worthiness. I've done something to make humanity better. So if you ain't rich, smile on a brother. If you ain't rich, give somebody a hug. You know, it don't cost nothing. You know?
Yes.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to say, speaking of love and hugs, I really want to give a shout out to my mom right now.
Well, you go with it. Mamas are wonderful.
Number one, I would not be who I am today and have the heart that I have today had I not been taught and grown up. And my parents are divorced, but yet both of them have showed us love and taught us things. Me and my sisters were all the same way. You know, I have very loving sisters. We've never fought, ever, ever. I've never disrespected my mom, and I've never disrespected my dad. Never have I been cruel to my mom and dad to this day. And trust me, I've been down some bad roads in my life, but I have never disrespected my parents.
Wow.
And right now my mom and my stepdad have taken me and my son in, you know, after a hardship. I was in a really bad car accident and lost everything. Lost my house, lost my car, lost my job, and I even lost my daughter. Not in a sense, I still have my daughter, but she couldn't live with me anymore. But I love my parents. And I love my mom, and I'm so very thankful for her and him letting us stay here when I have no income.
You know.
And I hope that my daughter, you know, understands how much love that she has been passed on.
That's, I'm telling you, that's just spectacular. I mean, I know that your mom did good. I know that your father did good because I've heard your children. I've heard one of your children, and I've heard stories of your other child. And to me, that's what I'll talk about. Somewhere along that line, I'm sure that your mom and pa had some rough goes, and they were able to break the chains and put that golden spot in your heart that you perpetuated onto your children, who will in turn perpetuate it onto their children. And that, to me, is the definition of hope.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Everybody out there, go hug your ma. Hug your grandma and your grandpa and tell them you love them, for Pete's sake.
Mom, go hug Shannon. She sounds like she needs one.
poor mom can't get the radio show to come up on her computer. She got it to come up, but she, for some reason, can't hear it.
So, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have the podcast up there.
And that's what I told her.
You can download the podcast, and she can listen to it over and over to her heart's content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she really loves the show now.
Well,
we're sorry to hear that, Dave, and we'll keep your mom in our prayers, brother.
Definitely, definitely. Yep. Dave just said that his mom is sick, so for you, those of us that pray, and we'll do that.
Everybody out there who's listening in,
yep.
Everybody out there who's listening, use some of that divine energy that's in your heart to send out some love for Dave and his mom. And I'm telling you what, you would be literally surprised in the power of prayer. So
I'm definitely good on that. It's worked for me recently.
Well, yep, then you guys know what I'm talking about. And for those of you out there who haven't tried it, give it a shot once in a while, and you might just be surprised. Inside yourself is something so glorious, so powerful that you can't even possibly imagine. And this is why I keep saying, and I keep saying it over and over and over again, you are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. You have the power of your actions. And with all these things together, combined with your brothers and sisters around the world, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And I'm a firm believer that we can even accomplish in healing sickness with the power of our love. So, you know, if that makes me sound crazy, then so be it. We have the tools, the technology, the resources to do so many amazing things, but mankind to this point has been hindered by those out there whose hearts are full of greed and want power or whatever. You know, they go by the way of death and destruction in order to fatten up their wallet as fat as they possibly can, while we, the average Joe, go about our lives and try to struggle and do the things that we have to do to raise our families and try to raise them in a positive manner to where now they're respectful to one another and they send that on down to their children. We are the founding fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers of our children and our children's children's future. What we do will definitely, without a doubt, define the world that they live in. You have a lot more power than you can think. More power than you possibly imagine. That's time to use it. Throw some of that positive hope out there and some of that positive love for Dave and his mom. Throw some out for your mom and your children.
Absolutely.
I mean, go up and hug a total stranger. Hopefully you won't get thrown in jail for mugging.
If you're a guy, you might want to ask permission.
Yeah, hey, buddy, how's it going? Pow! All right, well, love you too. use common sense.
Yeah, definitely. But
she
just told me I could just go up and hug anybody.
Yeah, well.
Don't you assault me with a hug.
What? Yeah.
Oh, man. But, you know,
and
hey.
Here's the thing. I don't know how many of you out there are patters when you hug. Like, when you hug and pat the back.
I'm a rubber.
Okay. She says, what do you do when you hug someone? Do you pat their back or do you?
Sometimes I pat their back. Sometimes I just squeeze.
Okay, well, here's something for you. Me and my family, a while back ago, we noticed that when one of us did not feel like we wanted to be hugged, we would pat. You know, pat the back.
Pat them on the back, yeah.
Yeah, and so we noticed our mom started doing that. And then each other, we noticed that when we didn't really want to hug somebody, we'd start patting them on the back. And I was like, you know, we need to stop doing that. So now it is in our conscious mind that when someone hugs us, or when, you know, or we are given a hug, we do like a squeeze or, you know, just a little rub, not an over, you know, over rubbing of the back, but, you know.
Yeah, don't get too friendly.
Like yeah, a squeeze just to say, hey, you know, I love you. And I, you know, I want you to know that even though I'm not feeling like I want to be hugged right now, thank you for that hug.
Yep.
You know?
You know, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. We've had an amazing show. It's not quite over yet, but we're getting down close to it. But, you know, the things that we're talking about are those stepping stones. Those are those, if you go out to a real beautiful garden, and you'll notice that on each side of these stepping stones, there's dirt and mud paths or whatever, and you got a clean place to step, and you're walking through there, and you're not stepping on any of the flowers. You know, that sounds a little bit kind of crazy what I'm talking about, but if you think about it, life is about the same way. If you put the smooth stepping stone out there for your child to stand on, before the next one gets there, he's at least got an opportunity to stand there and look around to see what needs to be done next. We do this together. We keep paving these stones. Our children have a smooth path into the future. If we don't put the stepping stones out there right now, the road that they go down is going to be like the road that you and I have gone down. A lot of us have been down some rough roads. A lot of us could tell you some stories that would boggle your mind. How that we're still alive is a miracle, because we were stupid. Literally, we had the world in our hands, and we just said, oh, we're going to go for it. We did. We went down some bad paths, but what we did learn from that whole deal was knowledge that we don't want our kids to repeat. Am I wrong?
Exactly.
So, lay those smooth paths. Throw the positive pebbles out there. Throw the ripples and the smiles and the hugs in every doggone direction, and keep on doing it, because the only way that we're going to stop the madness in this world is when we overpower the minority that is the ruling elite of the world. You know, they want the money, they want the power, and they're going to get it no matter who has to go down in the process. And if you think that's a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory, pick up your doggone history book, for Pete's sake. Look in the science world. Look and see, you know, like all the different power brokers of the energy world, the fuel and the coal. They had wars going on. They had monopolies. There were laws put on the books to keep people from having monopolies, because the stronger they got, the more powerful they got. See how many toes they stepped on. This is in the church. It's in real life. It's in the government. It's not a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory. Like I said about the whole bird thing, it ceases to be a conspiracy when birds start dropping out of the sky. So then you have to ask the question, why are these birds falling out of the sky? Could it be maybe somebody's poisoning the air, or crop dusting, or whatever? You know, there's something to look at when you start seeing all these things happening around the world. Is it divine intervention and an answer to a prophecy? Or is it we're polluting our fishbowl and we better pay attention before we throw it all out of whack? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Yep. We need to invest in change now, don't we? It's sort of...
Yeah, you know, the time...
It's inevitable, and I have to. We have to.
The time to steer away from the cliff is before you get there. Once you're over the cliff,
yep. It's all over, isn't it? It's done and dusted, eh?
It's a done deal. Brace for impact and let the best man stand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, common sense. We got to get common sense. We got to get people out there thinking outside the box. Whenever I was raising my children up to live life, I told them both sides of the story. I told them the evolution side. I told them the creation side. I told them both sides of the story. I showed them everything that I knew, and I let them make an informed decision. And every single one of my children agree with me today that there must be a higher power, because this is so complex. How could it be just total chaos? You know, the fact that some of us survived our teenage years is a miracle, as far as I'm concerned. Believe me, I had my hot rodding days.
I wish I did in a Chevelle, a 1970 Chevelle.
Oh, I had a 72 Chevelle Super Sport, and I drove it in the lake doing 65 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness. That's my favorite car, is a 1970 Chevelle.
Yep, and I had a 72, I had several 72 Novas that were souped up, built to the hilt. So I was kind of a wild child in my youth. I wish I had those cars back today, because those would be worth a lot of money. But, you know, you live and you learn. Now I drive a Dodge Stratus, so, you know, hey. I still count my blessings. Maybe one day I'll get filthy, stinking rich, and I can splurge on myself and buy myself another hot rod. But by that time, I'll be a 90-year-old man, and I don't know if I'd want to step on the gas, because I probably wouldn't be able to control it anymore. Who knows? But such is life. You know, you live life and learn. And I'm telling everybody out there, we need to live life and love one another. We need to do what we know is right in our heart. And I'm hearing a lot of that on this show. I'm hearing a lot of it. And I'm happy. I am honored. I am humbled to be part of what we got going on here. And my hope is that it continues to go on. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I believe it needs to definitely continue.
Well, we've immortalized ourselves in podcast after podcast. The Knights is getting up there in the numbers. We've got a lot of podcasts out there for the Knights of the Roundtable. Go back and listen to some of these things. And we talked about, way back then, solutions. And like Coltis said earlier on the show before, is that, you know, we've actually got something going on. We've got something just about to be done. So we are moving forward. We're not moving backwards. Virtual labs will come up and running. We'll be able to do the research that we want. But it don't have to stop there. It can continue on shows like the Hope Show. It can continue on the other shows on all the other networks out there. Alternative music, alternative medicine, alternative to the system, the beast that's eating us all alive. We, the people, standing up and taking responsibility for ourselves and one another, being the true caretakers of the land. And, you know, back in the Bible, it's talking about, you know, whenever Cain killed Abel and his father asked where he was, he said, well, am I my brother's keeper? You are your brother's keeper. You watch your brother's back, your brother watches your back, you watch your neighbor's back, your neighbor watches your back, and that perpetuates on into the future, and eventually everybody's caring for one another. What better world could you live in? Have I lost my mind?
Yeah. You what?
Have I lost my mind?
No, you haven't lost your mind. Not at all.
Well, those are the dreams that I dream. And hopefully...
Your dreams are good dreams.
Yep, we need more dreamers just like you, mate.
Well, like I said, we're losing our time here. We're down to the last 8 minutes of the show. I got a couple tunes to play us out of here, but I want to give you guys the next 3 minutes to say what's on your heart.
Would you like me to go?
Ladies first.
Always, huh?
Great minds think alike, buddy.
Yep.
You guys are awesome. Number one, just as always, I love you all. Love you, Shaziz.
Love you, too.
We appreciate your mind and your heart. We appreciate all the words you have to say. And definitely, Cultus, I love you, and I appreciate all that you've done. And the way we get to talk to each other, people get to miss out on some of the things that we all get to discuss. And we try to discuss, you know, everything, but, you know, there's some things that we don't get to on the show. But I love everybody, and I just appreciate all of you.
Well, I probably shouldn't say it, but I see a future wedding in my brain. But either way, go ahead, Coltus.
That'll go along with Buddy's Buddy's song the other day, going along the lines of Shannon and Colty sitting in a tree.
Yeah, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
And what happened?
Oh, far out. Are we the only ones out of the loop, sweetheart?
Alright, well, anyway, I can feel the love, okay? But I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it, because that would be a union of great proportions, and, you know, okay, I'm like that one of the matchmakers that should shut up.
Yeah.
Wow!
I'm one of those matchmakers who should shut up. That's all I can say. I just think, okay, I'm already in it.
The chat room's just going nuts all over.
I'm already in it. I'm just going to say it. I think you guys would be an awesome couple. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. I think I just got hot and sweaty and,
All right, well, sorry about that. It just popped in my head, and my mouth wouldn't shut up, and I blurted it out. They don't call me King Shaziz the Terrible for nothing.
I'm surprised my daughter hasn't had anything to say about that. I know Mom did.
First swear word in the chat room ever.
Shame on my mother. Mom just fell off the chair. Oh my.
All right, well, anyway, so back to reality.
Wow.
We're down to the wire.
This is streaming.
Wake up, buddy. Wake up.
All right, Cultus. can you take us out of here with some sanity?
Well, as always, boys and girls, stay safe. And, you know, just we've got that link on the Knights of the Roundtable room there in on Shaziz Radio. Now we would like everyone to submit their ideal, most profound letter of peace to the world, and we will piece it all together, and we will send it off to all the powers that be of the world, and you know we will try to make a difference. You know, I mean, you've seen firsthand virtual labs come to real life. You know, from idea to reality. So you know, we have the ability. All it takes is, as I say every week, you know, stand up and take that first step and do something constructive. Don't wait for the guy next to you to stand up to follow him. You be the leader. You stand up and you start going and you do it. And so here is a opportunity for each and every one of you to get on board and have an impact. Okay, so the link's there. Get into it and stay safe. Peace and love to you all. We shall see you same time, same place next week. And don't forget, Knights of the Roundtable at 8 a.m. Central time tomorrow.
Yeah, be there or be square.
I can't believe that you forgot Dame Shannon. I'll be there.
Yeah, don't forget Dame Shannon. And bring some more dames.
Maybe I can get Mom and my sister Angel. By the way, she's here. I want to give out shout out to Angel. Love you, girl.
That would be great, because we could have them help keep us knuckleheads in line, because old Shaziz has a tendency to create a ruckus now and then.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're down to it. You know what we're saying? We're saying keep peace and hope and love alive. And don't give up the dream. And so with that said, I'm going to play two tunes up out here. It's going to run me a bit over, and I'll probably get beat up for it. But either way, one of the songs out there is because Shannon picked this song earlier, and we are the champions. We are the champions of our children's future. And so with that said, we need to actually get up and do what it is that it takes to make this world a better place. I believe in the dream. And so with that said, I believe that everyone else out there believes in a dream. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Join in. Become one of the knights. Join in and bring your friends. Bring the dames. A lot of dames. They got to keep old King Shaziz the Terrible in line. All right, here we go. We're running over. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
I've done my sentence, but committed no crime, and bad mistakes I've made a few. taken my bows and my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all, but it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose. We are the champions, my friend.
Oh.